So as soon as the door closes, he turns around, slaps his hands back on the thing. He goes, "It's a trap!" And then right in that moment, the lights turn off, and then we all start screaming at the top of our lungs. And then one of our friends like topples to the ground. I'm holding him in my arms, like waving air into his face.
Holy shit.
You see parents grabbing their kids.
Holy shit.
And just like turning, and the lights turn back on. You just see me holding him.
Stay with me, soldier. Stay with me.
Yeah, then the ride opens. We all get up. Nothing happens. We just walk.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank Podcast, everybody. This is my camera and my camera only. I forgot to move this chair out of the way, but it's too late because we've already started recording. This is me. This is my chair. We have yet to update. Okay, for those of you that, I don't know, maybe it's very likely you've seen the set in person or on video, but I have a very scuffed chair that I always sit in when we have a guest on, and the guest is always sitting in this dark blue chair.
Yeah, I saw a few comments of that.
So real for that.
And I haven't thought about getting my own chair. It's not uncomfortable or anything.
There's not a lot of space.
Yeah, it's not a lot of space.
Well, I guess we could move this guy.
We could. It can be done that I can fit.
It's just so silly seeing that chair here. Like, you'd need something with, like, an armrest or something. Because you'd kind of just look like you're just sitting there, like, I would imagine, a late-night host TV show guy.
And me, who has, like, probably the worst posture here. It doesn't help that I have not a lot of back support there. But, anyways, welcome back to the Fish Tank Podcast. I feel like, personally, you guys have been here, but I'm finally back.
You
on the mojo
from your journey.
Yeah, so like I said last week. Oh, before we started anything, we opened a Patreon. We always say this at the end, but we want to say this at the beginning this time. Go to patreon.com/fishtankpodcast if you want to see exclusive content. We only upload
add more content.
Right now we only upload hour long episodes to the YouTube, the every other platform that you normally see it on, but we actually have on average 30 to 40 minutes of exclusive content that you can find nowhere else except for the Patreon. So if you want to support us, it's only right now the tier is only $5 a month to get access to all those exclusive episodes. So if you want to show support, then go for it. What's going on over there?
Did you see what he just did?
I fog up my glasses.
Bro, you put the whole lens in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, you lick them?
No.
Dude, you went...
That's how you get them all frothy.
Lens. Look at that. What kind of animal does that?
You did put the whole thing in your mouth.
But it's all frothy.
That makes
what
sense,
do you mean,
though.
Frothy?
I thought some people lick their glasses.
Lick?
Yeah, lick.
No, that's disgusting.
I did that for my contacts. So whenever they would fall out.
What?
No, what did he say?
So whenever they would fall out in like middle school or elementary school. No, middle school or high school. Because I didn't have fucking formula on me, I would just lick it a little bit.
That's what it's called, formula?
That is horrible. How has this never, ever come up before?
Didn't you?
You licked
your contact. You unlocked
a
memory.
Wouldn't you get like sick from that?
No.
I guess it's kind of the equivalent of licking
your
eyes.
Okay. I'm a strong believer in that if you don't worry or think about it, you can't get hurt from it.
So
I have a lot of friends that were like very meticulous about their contacts, like taking them off every night. Or doing, you know, doing like the normal, like what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah.
But really putting brain power into it. And then they would get like eye infections and shit like that and have to go to the fucking optometrist and a lot of shit. Dude, I used to leave my contacts in for months.
What?
Yeah,
for
months. Months. I shit you not. I was a very awfully hygienic person back in the day. For months, and I never had anything wrong with my eyes. Never. I just never thought about it.
Bro, there's hidden treasure back there behind your eyes.
Yeah.
This is like Fish's like least
like
favorite
if my,
thing to talk about.
If my car, if my car is making or like making weird noises or should I have a very old car.
Mm-hmm.
So if my car is ever making weird noises or like just feels weird, I just put the radio up a little bit louder.
You shut it out.
And then it usually fixes itself. You know, it's fine.
Nah,
I will say, for the most part, when it comes to my car, I'm pretty like neutral about a lot of things. But like, if I hear like a weird sound and I hit a pothole and doesn't change it, then I go, because I do hit potholes like on purpose. Just like if I hear something like rattling, I'll da-dunk and then just.
You know, not to get really dark in this situation.
Let's get dark.
But they do that to like people that are dying.
They hit
so
them.
So there's
hit a
it's called a miracle bed.
What?
Yeah. So it's not a pothole per se, but it's like a similar thought process. So my grandma was dying like a week in she died. She's dead.
Okay.
She was dying for like a week in the hospital. Uh-huh. And then they were like, we don't know what to do. So we're going to put her in this miracle bed that literally just flips her so that it kind of like loosens up her organs and shit. Like just kind of moves her.
Loosens up the organs.
That's, and they, apparently it saves people.
That's insane. But all
they right. literally just literally... hit a pothole and they're like, it's better.
Wait, okay. I'm human equivalent
of a pothole. You mean
like flip her upside down?
They like strap her in. They strap her in and then the bed goes.
What?
Yeah.
And that's the equivalent of slapping a car.
Yeah.
Did it work though?
No, she died.
Okay, but I mean like, I know she ends
does
up.
Does it
dead,
relieve
I mean, did
the.
It, like,
no,
nothing.
Does it relieve the pain or like
no,
whatever's going on?
I mean, apparently, I don't know the science behind it, dude, that's but apparently crazy. It's like something about pressure and it just like. Moves your organs. I don't know.
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, medicine is genuinely insane. Like, there are times where, like, you get a prognosis where you're like, you're going to die. And then you just live. Yeah. It's so annoying to me. Like, it's just, be accurate.
Have you seen that house episode where they're talking about that? Like, he said this guy had cancer and then he was going to die. So the guy, I guess, spent all of his life savings and money.
Uh-huh.
And then, 6 months later, he was like, hey, you're cancer free. And then he's like, you ruined my life by saying that I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And then he sues him and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, I believe that. My grandma was in that scenario, actually. Like,
really?
Straight up. Yeah, she had like stage 4, I want to say breast cancer or something. And like the doctor's like, listen, she's pretty much, there's like guaranteed.
Like in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And then couple months go by and he's like, yeah, I don't know what happened to
you're
the
still alive.
It doesn't make sense. It's just gone. And they're just like, how are you feeling, grandma? She's like, I'm doing all right. I'm like, way to be nanny. She's got this massive hunch in her back too, just like my great grandma. Oh my god, it's crazy. I could see like the exact stages she's going through and everything, and every time I see her, I'm just like, how you doing, nanny? And she's like, hello. I love her so much, but she is just bouncing along, not a single thought behind those eyes of happiness. She's just bumbling around. I'm like, how you doing, Nani? Doing good. Are you sure? No.
I have, I knew that when I was born, I have a bloodline history of one, back problems, which is funny. Like fucking scoliosis is actually, it actually accurately went through. And the other one is a heart problems. Cause my bloodline grandfather passed away at age 50 from a heart attack.
Mm.
And it's just scary. So whenever my mom, like, I've been like kind of lazy about working out recently, and when I tell my mom that, she goes like, you need to work
you're
out.
You're gonna
she
die.
She brings it up. She's like, your grandfather, he passed away at 50. Believe, get in the gym. She doesn't even know like what to do in the gym. She's like, go there, go do the treadmill,
you don't even
do whatever.
Any cardio.
What?
You don't even do cardio.
I know. And she's always like,
well,
you
he climbs
it.
With me sometimes.
That's not quite the same.
It's very cardio.
I mean,
I do feel winded when I'm at the top.
Sure. But
if,
like
depending on the climb.
If you're climbing for like 2 hours, dude, my watch like does the calories and stuff. I burn like 1,000 calories.
Yeah, but that's not the same as cardio. Like that's
your heart is going.
Yeah, but you're working
what
your muscles
this?
More than it's like
it's a little bit of both, I would say.
And yeah, sure. It's got some aspect of it. It's not like just cardio.
What's
ring?
It called?
You just find a ring?
It doesn't fit on my pinky.
Whose ring? It could be Janelle's.
Oh, it could be. We'll return this.
We found buried
okay,
treasure
so
in the fish
there's
tank.
A similar thing in my family, but we don't know what to do or how to fix it. Mm-hmm. But all of the women on my dad's side of the family
women
live to like 100. I Ooh. Shit you not.
We
my,
don't know how to fix
no,
it?
No. So the fixing part comes later. My great-grandma lived to 98 years old.
Holy shit.
98. And she smoked a cigar every single day. Like in the house, she didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And then... But all of the men in my family die very young.
They yeah, there's just this, die. There's this crazy thing, though, about that I remember hearing where it's like when couples are together for a very long time, if the woman goes first, the man is usually very close behind. But if the guy goes, the woman just lives forever.
That's not true for my grandpa. My grandpa's lived for a good amount.
Well, I mean, normally that's like how it goes, though. It's like the guy is just like, well, she's gone.
There was actually
time for me to go.
There was actually drama in my family. I'm not going to say any names, obviously. But a person in the extended family at my grandma's funeral literally said, oh, my grandpa's gonna go soon. Like, my speaking my grandpa's name, like, not saying my grandpa, like, oh, he's gonna go soon, because that's how it always works. And it's like, why the fuck would you say that at a fucking wedding?
That is crazy.
Yeah,
that's pretty messed up, actually.
My whole family hates this person.
Yeah, yeah. Understandably, I would hate them as well. I want you to know I'm on your side. That's the most messed up thing you can do. It's at a funeral and be like, next.
Yeah,
that is so insane, dude. I hate family members that just are just why are they dicks to the rest of the family? Like, for what
reason? I think it's just like they're evil people in general.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes a lot of sense. I think you also know who your evil like family member is when you just meet them for the first time. I don't know about you guys, but I get vibes from people really quickly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's also crazy, like, because we're all genuinely probably pretty good people, you know.
I would say.
So hard for me to wrap my head around somebody who is actually out to like hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, why the like, how the fuck do you does your brain even know what to do in that moment? Because all I know how to do in any moment is like to be nice or to be accommodating or to be like
a good host.
Host. Sure.
They would be Twitter users in our time.
Yeah.
That's
so stupid.
That's the worst. That's the worst attempt at a connection you've ever made.
I thought in my head it sounded good, and then it came out. I was like, oh fuck. Go on.
But yeah, it's just it's weird wrapping your head around like somebody that is truly just like
malicious.
Malicious. It's crazy.
No,
because like everybody makes mistakes.
Some
right?
people do feed off of it. They genuinely like causing like a definitely
have like a negative reaction to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. They like want. They're just like this. I don't know. Maybe their mindset is literally like this is boring. What's going on right now? You know what? I'm gonna complain about this certain person or bring something up
that maybe you shouldn't have. Yeah. Right. Those are normal things to get wrong. But then there are people that are like, I'm gonna like take all of these steps to then maybe hurt somebody. A few months down the line.
It's like a twisted sociopath that on Halloween will find one of those take one things and then just empties the whole thing in their bag. Like, that's just the most messed up thing
you can do. But not to do it because they want candy. To do it because they don't want other people to spite
other people. It's like taking that bag of candy and then throwing it in the river.
Yeah. No one gets this candy.
And then they look up at the camera, which has like the blue light ring or whatever on the doorbell, and just like, I hate. And then they leave.
There's nothing you can do about this.
Yeah, there used to be a dude that would have one of those things, but he would dress up as like a scarecrow type thing that would like sit there with the bull or whatever. And anytime a kid would take more than one, he'd just go, and that kid would just shoot 15 feet backwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone on the block knew about him. And every year there was one kid that didn't know. And we all just sat there and watched. And it was awesome every time. That kid would be scarred for the rest
of their life.
Oh,
this was in your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a guy like
that. I saw a video of this.
I know, there's plenty of people that do it, But like, I just remember as a kid, before like, you know, the internet was a big thing, and it was just like a whole bunch of people would just find out about this. Like, he was just like, yeah, no, you take more than one candy, scaring the crap out of you, and you're not getting any candy. And he gives you like a penny. You guys have those UNICEF boxes, by the way?
High school was so big into UNICEF.
Dude, yeah. I thought that money was for me.
No.
Yeah, I just took the box.
No, they wouldn't.
I was just like, just put the money in here, and then I just took it home.
No, schools aren't about like making cash.
I didn't know. I was just like, UNICEF seems pretty good.
Let it be known that Tubal doesn't care about charity.
How did they not? Wasn't aware. How did they not inform you of that?
Because I was just a little kid. I was just like, oh, it's just another little bag except for money instead.
No way.
I just didn't. I never questioned it. I just took the money.
This reminds me of It wasn't like I don't have any fun stories about UNICEF, but I have been a part of. Charity for raising money back in college. Oh, fuck. You know what we were raising money for? Was the fucking swim team.
I can't imagine
team.
What it could be.
Oh, that's what, wait. We
let
need
me
to get
look
a whiteboard.
To my left real
get
quick.
The whiteboard.
We need to get a whiteboard.
Mark it down.
Dude,
I brought up the swim team.
Jump king
but,
and swimming.
But this has nothing to do with the actual like swimming aspect. I'm just thinking of like the funny stories that happened like while. Okay, so basically what it was is that during Halloween we needed to give out candy bags to students. Because there was an email sent out to every parent at the whole school that you could pay $20 for Halloween and you could send the kid a gift bag.
Sure.
And so first of all, when the kids found out about this, they're like, we're being robbed. Mom, don't pay for it. Dad, don't give any money to these thieves. But no, it was just like some of it was for the candy bag. A majority of it was for just like supporting the swim team. And Yeah, just thinking back, we needed swipe cards to like get into the. No, that doesn't. No, this is one story. He just wrote fake tally on the wall.
This is for the one.
This
story.
Is still about. Yeah, this is still the same story.
I'm just marking it.
Okay, well, what was it? You needed to. I lost my train of thought. We needed to deliver all the bags to each building, and each building had like security front desk people and like swipes, like cards that you needed to swipe in to get into the building. Mm-hmm. And we split up into groups of like three across the whole team. We needed to get into each building despite us not having any access to it. So I just remember some of like, this has nothing to do with stealing money or anything, but some of the leaps that we had to go through to deliver money. Like at one point there was like some automated window and we had to hold open the window and like start sprinting down the hallway. And my friend Mike literally Call of Duty dolphin dive through the window. And then he's just like, he called me back on the phone, Philippe. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm in. And then he would start running around dropping off candy bags. Because I think we definitely set off an alarm at some point and security got involved. And he was like, I'm not dealing with this. We have a quota to meet like by midnight. And then he like, first of all, Mike was very just unhinged just in general. He was very excited and hyper, very buff, loved pre-workout. And then
dry scoop, do you know?
Yes, he did dry scoop.
That's disgusting. Yeah, that's insane.
And
if you dry scoop, you're a monster. I don't know what you're on, but you need to relax just a little bit.
I don't mind dry scooping. I feel like it's, I mean, so if you gross, if man. You're if you're able to not like start coughing it up like from all the powder in your mouth without any water, but the taste is fine. I'm all for
animal.
Dry scooping.
You're an animal if you do that.
Not that I do it. Like I use barely half a cup of water when I take pre-workout, whenever I rarely do. But yeah, just looking, you just activated a core memory of us just sprinting around campus at like 10 p.m., breaking into buildings, getting security called on us.
I have a...
And then our coach was informed of it, and he was like, what did you guys do?
What we needed to, coach. Yeah.
I have a... So I wasn't in the band class, but I did so much with the band class that my teacher, who is now a really good friend of mine, he was like, Lewis needs to come on the band trip because he's a he's like a essential part of the band, even though I wasn't in the class. So every year the band class in high school mm-hmm. goes to Disney World to compete, whatever sure. that fuck that means. And he was like, Lewis is a very essential part of our band. I know he's not in the class, but can we please give him a pass so that he can come on the trip with us? And then they were like, yes. And all I did was play the tambourine. I didn't even know the songs. I just.
Wait, what did you do that made him?
I would skip my lunch every day and go and hang out with that class. And then also I got us gigs. Like, so my mom was a principal of an elementary school. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Mom, do you want us to come and like play for the students? Mm-hmm. And she was like, all down for it. So we took like a whole band trip and stuff like that. So I did like fun stuff like that for them, and for me. Because I didn't want to go to school, obviously.
Understandable.
So we go to Disney World in Orlando, and we see the Blue Man Group. Because it's like a music thing, you know, it ties in. And then
I love the Blue Man Group.
So the thing about the Blue Man Group show is that towards the end, they throw a bunch of toilet paper into the crowd. Like just like streamers of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. So if you stand up and then put your arms out, and then start twirling around, you become a big toilet paper person.
A mummy.
Like, but it's like large. Yeah, like my arms were like this. And so I did that. And then I started running around. And it's a class of like 30 of us. So I would run first, screaming like, help me! but like dressed as a... You know, with the toilet paper, and then you see 29 kids chasing at full speed after me. So
help me. And then
security got involved, and Disney World security does not fuck around. No, sorry, it's Universal. Any of that shit does fuck around.
Any franchise
theme park. And they stop me, they stop all of the students. And the thing about our teacher is he's very young looking. He's like a younger guy. He's maybe like in his late 30s. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the security guard's like, who's your teacher? What are you guys doing here? And then our teacher's like, I'm the teacher. He's like, no, you're not.
Believe him.
And we got kicked out of Universal. Oh, we got kicked out of Universal. It was awesome. It was such a fun fucking experience. But we caused so much chaos in that trip. So there's like a day where we get to go and like play around on the rides, like go on the rides and stuff like that. And we split up into little groups. Nothing was like, because we were all seniors. We were like 17, 18. So it was like, okay, you guys are like, just go and, you know, have fun. Don't leave the fucking park. None of us were like bad kids. So it was like all pretty like normal.
Yeah, but band kids.
So there's this ride.
Band kids are crazy. What do you mean?
We were awesome. It was fucking hilarious.
Band kids. Yeah, but not bad people. They're band kids.
We're funny. Like, just like whatever. There's a, what's the guy's name? Buzz Lightyear ride in. Yeah, Buzz Lightyear. There was a Buzz Lightyear
typical
ride.
Today,
and the you go through the line, and then there's like a little pre-show before the ride, right? Where you step into a fake elevator that it just kind of looks like the wall, the like the lights are going up, like you're going down into the thing, and then you go into the ride. But in that elevator, there is no workers with you. So they just put all of the ride people in it. So there's a mix of like 7 band kids, my class and me, and then like 4 families. So like little kids, some like middle schoolers, then their parents.
Just slam on the sides. We're gonna die!
Yes.
So as soon as the door closes, somebody, his name is Carlos. He turns around, slaps his hands back on the thing. He goes, "It's a trap!" And then right in that moment, the lights turn off. And then we all start screaming at the top of our lungs. And then one of our friends like topples to the ground. I'm holding him in my arms like waving air into his face.
Holy shit.
You see parents grabbing their kids. Like, and just like turning, and the lights turn back on. You just see me holding him.
Stay with me, soldier. Stay with me.
Yeah, then the ride opens. We all get up. Nothing happens. We just walk. And I made a mistake. It's not Star Trek. It was the Buzz Lightyear is Men in Black red. Men in Black.
Okay.
It was that red. But yeah, that's how we spent our day.
Oh my god.
Just keep going back to that exact same thing. Oh my god, that is so funny.
Two things that I'm remembering from that. One, I think it was a Disneyland. It was definitely
Disney
in Florida?
World.
So it's not as okay.
The best one.
They had a Honey I Shrunk the Kids interactive show in Disney World. And first of all, that was some 4D shit.
Yeah.
They showed
had
a single mouse or a rat, whatever it is, and then the guy shrinks it and he multiplies. He makes like 1,000 rats
and
that like start running. And then you see them falling out of the box, like running towards you, and then you feel you feel rats under your seat, like just running past your feet. It was terrifying. Everybody in the theater like screamed. I don't think it exists anymore. That was the one core memory that you activated. Just technology back then.
There was a ride in Universal. It wasn't a ride. It was a show about horror films and how they were made. Like they actually have the transformation of like the Wolfman, like from human to Wolfman. They show you how to do it. It was such a cool ride.
Oh.
Like, and stuff like that. There was a good Terminator ride that was terrifying. There was a Twister ride where you see they make a fucking tornado in the ride. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. You know another one I remember doing? You know Hershey Park where it always smells like chocolate?
I know
delicious.
It from American Dad. I've never seen Hershey Park.
I've been to Hershey Park a couple times because, you know, I grew up relatively nearby that area, and every once in a while it would take like a school trip would go to Hershey Park or something, and you learn everything about it. Yeah, like a stupid little pamphlet you had to fill out about stuff and whatever. But I remember I ignored the packet entirely, and I think I spent roughly 3 hours of my time there going on the exact same ride where you get a free chocolate bar at the end of it. And I just went in a circle over and over and over again, and I had like 40 chocolate bars.
Oh my. Wait, like full size Hershey bars?
Yeah, it's just like a full, like back then it was like a pretty decent sized chocolate bar. And I just walked out with like an entire backpack just full of chocolate. And my teacher was just like, everyone hand in your pamphlet. He's like, Christian, why don't you do any of this? And I was just like, bro. I was hustling, ma'am.
Yeah, that's stuff you like can't like just do as you can't do that nowadays.
Oh no, there's just give away the last shit time like I went that. Back there, they gave you like a tiny little like baby size Hershey bar. You can't do it anymore. But like back then, I went on that ride every time, the different group of people, just chocolate bar after chocolate bar, and that's all I did.
Things are so mainstream now.
It's also one of the that band trip was also one of the fucking coolest things I've ever done as far as like, you know, being a dude. There was multiple schools on the trip. So our school was an all boys school.
Oh, okay.
Being a dude.
But there was other girls in the hotel room or in the hotel in general.
Yeah.
And there was a computer room, and then I rizzed up a girl and she fucking came to my hotel room and we watched like TV and like did a bunch of shit. At fucking like I was 17.
Damn.
Yeah, it was awesome. My band teacher
one time at band camp.
So they put paper on our doors to see if anybody opened their door in the middle of the night, and then he sees that mine's ripped and doesn't say anything.
That's weird. That's like an intrusion. Like, it's one thing to guard that from happening, it's another thing to just know. That's weird.
What do you mean? Like, well, they weren't guarding anything. They just didn't want us to fucking leave the hotel, like, in general. So they were just like...
Yeah, but, like, I understand that it's, like, a hotel, and it's hard to, like, monitor hotels when it's, like, a whole another company. But to put just paper on the door... Like, okay, usually you set shit up like that when you have control of keeping people out of each other's dorms.
Yeah,
Or, like, rooms or whatever. The paper isn't going to stop anything. It's just going
to
No,
it doesn't stop anything. It just lets them know.
That's weird.
Because now they're, like... Now he's, like...
Oh, Louis be fucking.
Yeah, a lot of shit went down on the band trip. I don't know how much I want to get into it because, I mean, dude, there was a lot of drug use.
American Pie taught me that band kids are
freaky. So we went freaky. To, it'll be the last story. We went to like Fridays, right when after the bus ride. It's a 4-hour bus ride to get there. And one of our classmates bought our teacher a fleshlight and wrapped it up in gift, like, and then gave it to the workers. It was like, hey, it's our teacher's birthday. Can you please give him this and sing happy birthday? So they come out, sing happy birthday to him. And then I guess some random like older ladies from the bar came over and was like, oh, it's your birthday. What did you get? He starts pulling it out, sees what it is, and pulls it right back in.
It looked like someone hit reverse. He goes,
it was literally, dude, so much random shit happened on that fucking trip, dude. It was so funny. It was so funny.
Anyone get in trouble for that?
No, nobody got in trouble.
Nobody knew.
No. And it's funny because like, I still work. So my band teacher is a producer. Like that is the people that he works with are like the biggest people in Miami. So through mutual circles, are still working together. Like he has credits on a lot of my songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
That is damn.
That's years pretty crazy later. Right there. That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. It's very cool. It was his birthday yesterday.
I think the chillest teacher I ever met was either my English teacher, who she told everyone at graduation, like in her class, she was like, listen, all of you are going to grow up. You're going to go to college. It'd be awesome if you ever come back home and you're like over the age of 21. We'll go get some wine.
Yeah, I've had that. I've had that. I've actually taken up a lot of teachers on that offer. Like my social studies teacher. I still hang out with my music teacher all the time. My economics teacher. If there was anything that I've had in my life as close to a mentor, it was my music teacher.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the other chill teacher was this dude named.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Damn.
His name was Mr. Procco.
And he wouldn't even, I wouldn't even say mentor as in like he helped me through music and like what I want to do with my life, more as a person, like what I should be like or what I should act like.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's super cool.
That is cool.
I don't have any
teachers
like that.
The best thing he's ever taught me, and if anybody wants to take this advice, was sometimes you just got to chill. Sometimes you just have to be there. Like, you don't make it about you. Don't make it about like something, just be. And that was like some of the best advice I've ever gotten.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that advice.
It's very simple but powerful quote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have one.
Oh, yeah.
It's that, do you have an issue in your life right now?
Sure.
It's probably yes. Can you fix it?
No.
Then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Can you fix it? Yes. Then don't worry about it.
Wait, both?
Yeah. Because if you can fix it, then yeah, fix it.
Who
if
you
can't,
that?
If you can't fix it, no, I it was like I saw it over the years, like just on the internet. I forget gotcha. Where, but yeah, that fucking resonated with me. It's like, yeah, whether you can't or can't fix it, it's not something that you should.
You want to know what mine simmer. Always was for the longest time?
What's that?
This too shall end.
Oh, that's a good one.
It works for everything. So you appreciate the moment you're in, because if it's going well, just know that it will end. It will come to an end. But if it's a bad thing, it'll also come to an end. Mm. It's just, it makes you very present because of it. That's always one of my favorites. And it's like, apparently it has its roots with like some king that was just like, he talks to like a bunch of his like most knowledgeable scholars and said, I want you to find some kind of phrase that will make me happy when I'm sad and sad when I'm happy or something like that, or like appreciate whatever it was. And they're just like, yeah, this is the, we found it. I was like, that's a pretty good one.
I like that. This too shall end. Good.
Yep. Also sounds really ominous.
Yeah,
it does.
The reason I like that resonated with me so much, like the just sometimes you just have to be, or like just be chill, like, is because like in any situation, if you're feeling like uncomfortable, or you're getting very excited or passionate about something or something like that, like it applies to so many different, like,
sure,
look, if you don't know what to do, it's okay to be quiet. It's okay to just take it in.
It's pretty cool.
What?
Nah. It's the first time I ever made out with a girl, I was like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing right now.
Oh, me too.
I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to, she seems to know what's going on. I'm just going to let her do her thing, and I'll just try my best. And I slam my teeth into hers.
I had such a confidence booster yesterday.
Dude. My first kiss was terrible. Second round, really good. But my first attempts at just about everything, always awful. Always. I'm so bad
that,
at the first time.
Yeah, I feel
at anything.
I had a confidence booster yesterday.
Oh, yeah? Another gay guy compliment you?
What'd you say?
Another gay guy compliment you?
No, it was
always my confidence
booster. It was a straight
booster.
Girl.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, indirectly a straight girl. I had one of her friends come up to me, and it was like, told me about, like, just updated me on this girl that I had a thing with, like, at this point over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said he was such a great kisser, and I was like, let's go. and again I take so much of a compliment from this, because we had like nothing like serious, like it was just like I don't know,
I think people should be more open about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
like if you're making out with somebody, just be like, hey, these are some of the things you could fix, or like, you're a great kisser. I think be open about it, dude.
And they were gossiping about it. And they were just like talking about me behind my back in like the best way possible.
Nice.
And
I was like, that's the only way you should talk behind someone's
back. I felt such a confidence booster. But going back, because not to cut off the stories, but all this talk about like getting involved with security, getting called on us. We had something that I went to that I was gone for away from LA. Was for the Creator Summit, the Overwatch Creator Summit, and this was the second year that I went. Nothing really bad went down security wise, but last year we had somebody from, I won't name names because I know this is like a team of people, somebody from Blizzard Guides. They make like a bunch of Overwatch videos. I'm not sure specifically what, but just one night when everybody was coming back from a Blizzard paid drinking night, like dinner. Nice. Everybody was a little tipsy and everything. We were all just chilling, having a few more drinks at the lobby. And then there was just a Domino's pizza sitting completely still, untouched, for a good like 30 minutes. And then somebody from that YouTube channel goes,
I'm gonna eat that pizza.
If that pizza's not eaten in another like 20 minutes, I'm grabbing it. And then lo and behold, 20 minutes later, next thing you know, I didn't even know that this happened. It's at our table. Everybody's just munching away at it. Long story short, the couple ended up coming down an hour after it had been delivered, started screaming at other people that ordered a pizza that were not involved with us.
Did you guys throw away the box?
No. The box,
you didn't
was,
destroy the evidence?
No.
Rookies.
No, we didn't.
You rookies.
It wasn't a rookie move. They started yelling. I mean, like, this happened all within the span of like 5 minutes. We didn't know that they were coming down to start screaming. But yeah, they started screaming at other people that were innocent. And then the guy from Blizzard Guide was just like, I'm not saying anything. I'm not opening my mouth. and then security got involved and like, cause they were being loud. They were screaming. They were like, where is my pizza? I'm trying to feed my family.
After an hour, dog, you ain't doing a very good job feeding
exactly,
your family.
Exactly. You're not trying to feed your family that hard if you were letting your pizza go cold for an hour, especially pizza.
Mm. Yeah.
Disrespectful. True. And then, yeah, some of the Overwatch team got involved because it was our group getting yelled at because eventually they did find out that we were the ones with their Domino's pizza. And he didn't get invited to this year's summit, I think, because of that. I think because of that.
Makes sense.
But overall,
Did you eat a pizza?
Did what?
Did you eat a pizza?
100%. I had no idea that it was... He was the one that brought it over. At the time, I did not know that it was a stolen pizza. So then we had a whole meme about it because this whole ordeal...
It was more an acquired pizza.
This whole ordeal was involved him getting yelled at for like 30 minutes and then security getting yelled at for another 10 and then Blizzard Overwatch devs getting yelled at for another 30 minutes. It was a long...
That's a lot of yelling.
At like 1 a.m.
Nobody could just... Here's $100.
He did that. He gave them money. He was like, here, order another pizza. And I guess they took it, but still, they were just like... This is bullshit. Do something. Justice. I need it.
For a Domino's pizza, dog. Domino's ain't that good, dog.
Yeah.
You can get a fresh one.
Yeah, exactly. But
just be like, hey, who took my pizza? All right. Hand over the money.
So that was Pizzagate. That was Pizzagate last year. This year
Pizzagate.
Yeah. This year was Poopgate.
I love... It is a weird thing about to come out of my mouth. I love poop stories. There is so many funny ass poop stories. It's just like, why
Louis
is there
has
poop?
One story.
This is there's disgusting.
That makes me
I have
laugh
two.
So
which
hard.
Which one?
The mystery pooper at that event you went to. Or not event, the gathering with all your friends.
Oh, that's Ruben's story.
Yeah.
Ruben's, that's funny. Ruben's that was funny. At your house, right?
No.
Dude, when Louis told me this story, I damn near pissed myself.
It's Ruben's story. It was a bachelor party that he went to.
Oh my God, it was so
funny. It is the funniest. Okay, but you could go. I'm not going to say the story. We should get Ruben on here and he could tell the story.
Okay.
And that'll be cool. The smile.
Yeah. Because it definitely is still the funniest
it is
story.
It is so fucking
funny.
I haven't
heard that one. I just know the one that happened.
Oh my.
Look forward to any podcast that has Ruben on it. I promise you, you will not want to miss this one.
All right. Yeah. I'll mark that down mentally up here. We gotta hear the poop story from Ruben.
I have another poop story as well.
Because it's not gross.
Is it the one that happened
gross,
in AJ's
We call him the butler. No. Oh, I have three poop stories.
That one was hilarious.
Dude, the AJ one is fucking hilarious. I have three.
It just isn't that funny.
It's pretty funny.
It's funny
because it happened to AJ.
Yeah. Well, you just have to know who AJ is to understand why it's funny.
That's true.
I think as much. Like the Ruben one. That's funny, period.
It's just funny. Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, this one is it's not really like funny. It's not like out of the blue. It's just apparently this happens all the time at pools. But this just shows how unlucky I am.
At the Creator Summit.
I invited at the Creator Summit at the hotel.
At this one or the last one?
This one.
Okay.
There was a pool, as most hotels have. And I invited pretty much every single content creator that I was close with. I had their Discords, I had their Instagrams, like whatever it was. I texted them.
We're doing a pool day.
We had to leave at 1 p.m. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna get up, like go there at 10 and like chill in the sun, get tanned and all that. And essentially, we were all in the pool. We see a rock floating by. And I made a joke. I'm like, someone shat! Like, I screamed it out loud. Meanwhile, there's like kids nearby. And I'm like, oh God, my bad. I kicked it away. But I was thinking, like, on the inside, I was just like, oh, it's just like a rock. It's not a big deal. Somebody had the audacity. I won't name who because I feel like I don't want to throw them under the bus with like the fact that they did this. They're just like, oh yeah, look at that. And then they were like, they went to go pick it up, and it just smushed in their hands.
Oh,
it just smushed in their hands. And I'm thinking because it was the size of a pebble. I'm thinking, I'm still coping. I'm like, okay, God. That is 100%. Nope. It's just mud. It's just mud that rolled in from this balcony where there's no mud nearby, but I'm still coping. I'm like, nope. So then I got out. I like indirectly without telling anybody. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the hot tub, guys. And this was another confidence booster. Everybody followed me, which is cool. So we got in the hot tub. Next thing you know, the next thing we see is a security guard starts... Everybody's suddenly out of the pool, and he's putting up caution tape just around the whole pool.
Man.
One of the girls goes
There's
up to the
AIDS
security guard.
In the pool.
one of the guards goes up to the security guard and is just like, yeah, what happened? Why is the pool closing? a kid had an accident. And then I immediately, all the clues like started folding. I look to the corner of the pool. I see a parent yelling at their kid, like screaming at his ass, like mentally kicking his shit in. The kid is crying. Yeah, the caution tape. But the fucking squishing in the hand, that was like, it's human.
Yep, feces. That's the worst. The real biohazard dropping in.
But I say this is such a common thing because I talked to this got this spread immediately. Like this got thrown into the group chat of all the creators immediately. And they're just like, no, I've been a lifeguard. This happens apparently like
oh, so the guy's three used or to
four
it?
Times a week. Yeah. Yeah. But
I just want to say this. Please stop using the public pool as a toilet. Just in general. Like
even peeing.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Just please stop. Why? Why?
I'm a serial peer. Oh, I'm God. A pool peer.
No.
I'm sorry.
You're a monster.
I'm sorry.
I have literally never.
You're a bullshit liar.
I did it when I was younger.
No, even when I was younger, I thought it was.
I did it in Mexico just now when I went to the wedding. Man, I was peeing up a storm. Because there was a bar in the fucking pool.
No, but doesn't that like okay?
That's so gross, man.
It did kind of okay. As no. weird as
filters.
Is it weird to say that it felt nice to turn it into a hot tub like briefly after you peed? Because that's what I thought when I was younger.
Oh no, man.
The temperature change was crazy, but nowadays that's gross. Like that's your fucking pee that's like surrounding your stomach.
Look,
no.
This is a graphic. This is a graphic.
I'm sorry.
Graphic.
No,
I'm a serial.
Your fault.
No. Don't invite me to your pool parties.
I won't.
I assure you, you might get the invite. And good. I'm going to be like this when you ask what happened. I'll be like,
you know. You can have the invite. You just don't have the invite into the pool.
Into the pool.
Come to the party, not the pool.
No one push Louis in the pool. He doesn't have his phone on him. Just
he will pee immediately.
He'll look for an opportunity. If I see Ruben or Joey push you in that pool, I'm going to be mad as hell. I know exactly what's going on. I know
it's
exactly
like a neuron activation.
I go to
chlorine.
Joey, like, Joey, I need to pee. Got you. pushes me into the pool. Oh, Joey.
I mean, well, summit-wise.
I'm going to make you stay.
I don't want to fucking just start speaking Japanese, but do you guys have any questions about like because I mean
what did they show part, they showed the new character I'm assuming and stuff like that.
Well, NDA wise I'm not allowed to say what specifically they showed, but they did. I mean, just seeing everybody there was awesome. They definitely did show us like ahead of time stuff.
Hung out with Warren.
I can say that. Yeah Warren. I was begging so many people to like, because some of them were flying on the 6, which was
Come
back to LA, and they're like, no, it just seems really hectic. And I was like, are you sure? Like, you can stay at the house or you can do whatever. Nobody was down. I talked to J3 about it. J3, first of all, he said the vibes were so there when he had for those of you that are new here, we did a podcast episode that was digitally back before we had the whole in person set.
That was a great podcast. We had.
I love J3.
Yeah. He said that it was a great experience being on the podcast, like just talking about everything.
Just want everyone to know, every single person we've ever had has said they've enjoyed being on the podcast.
Yes.
We have 100%.
Except for success. One, and you have to figure it out.
Oh, and they gave it to us. They let us have it with their criticism. That's a lie. Nobody said that they had a
negative.
They
beat the shit out of me.
I hated Tubal.
Christian specifically.
That was the one where I talked the least, and they took great offense to that.
It's when you fell asleep on Macro.
Macro had a bat in his car.
I will say, though, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. They were so... I mean, when it comes to NDA, it's so hard to, like, say, talk about in general.
That's why I never asked.
Can I give, like, my opinion on, I guess,
what about comparing? The new PvE?
Okay. So, PvE. First of all, one thing that it did different from this Creator Summit versus last year's Creator Summit is that they gave us all time to play Overwatch. Just on the computers, like they gave us a whole room dedicated to like everything having Overwatch.
Nice.
One thing that didn't do this year was they didn't let us record, which was very confusing. So essentially, they forced us to do the mastery skill. Not forced us, but like it was
encouraged.
Like if you wanted to play Overwatch, like these were the two options you had, which was PvE and the hero masteries.
Did you do the masteries thing?
Yes, I did. And they're
did you enjoy
like,
it?
I was gonna say they're difficult. Like I am so excited to see what like speedrunners have to do with mastery, Because they're not like so direct. It's such a like a wide map that you can take any route. So I'm like super excited to see what speedrunners do with that. Mm-hmm. But what was I gonna say? Yeah, just the fact that it was PvE that was announced in 2019.
And then they said it wasn't coming out, and now it's kind of coming out.
And it's kind of coming out. They're like releasing missions on. I'm assuming it's gonna be same deal, like three missions a season. That's something like I am telling the truth. Like we don't know what the future is for PvE, but
I just want skill tree.
Yeah, it would be sick. They and I mean this is something that's like live now. They included some of the skill tree upgrades.
Souls like Overwatch
in the passive, dude. I told you about Legendary, right? Christian and I.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's three missions. We have yet to beat the third one.
You guys have been trying for like 2 days.
Dude, that yes, last... They're hard. That last area, there's so many enemies. They literally fall out of the sky and all around you. It is so hard to figure out what to target prioritize because that damn stalker will instantly grab you. And you have to have... And then there's stalkers shooting at this objective. Or not stalkers. The little slicer bots. Pain in the ass. And then it's like two artillery things, and Fish can't knock one off and also have Shatter ready for the other one, and there's just so many things shooting you, and they all do a billion damage.
I love it.
So hard.
Personally, I can understand why a majority of Blizzard Overwatch audience would hate the idea of just like onslaught of enemies coming, but I love how difficult it is. It's nice having
I will tell you, after the sixth hour of doing it, you're like, I can't listen to the voice lines again. I can't go through the four easy parts to get to the fifth and lose again almost instantly.
That part
because
sucks.
Just
that part
one stalker just came over, and for some reason, instead of doing their special ability, they just instantly kill you. He just walks up and just, and you're like, ah, you just drop dead.
Bro, if we spend another, what is it? We spend like 4 or 5 hours doing that mission. If we spend another 5-7 hours on it, it'll officially be the hardest boss that I faced. The hardest one that I face right now is Melania from Elden Ring.
I will tell you right now, if you see someone that's beaten all the legendary things, understand that that person is capable of incredible patience.
Yeah.
Just incredible amounts of patience.
Even top 500s, so they fucking spent six
SK
hours.
SK was the only one, right?
I'm sure there's others at this point. It's been 3 days at this point. But SK said, yeah, it took them 6 hours to beat the final mission, which is absurd.
There's just like top so many things to have to fight, man.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's very fun, but it's very hard. I almost threw on the second mission on the last one.
But it is.
But I didn't.
What are your guys' opinion on this? So 2019, they come out with one of the missions again that is basically untouched compared to what it is right now. Sure. They changed a few things here and there. They said it's going to come out in Overwatch 2. They announced Overwatch 2 was going to be free. Now they come out with a paywall, $15 to play three missions. I am unsure. This might just be my ignorance, or I actually have no idea. I am unsure if that $15 for the PvE stuff will also pay for the future PvE stuff that gets released.
If it doesn't, I will be upset. That's really all I'm going to say about that. That is a very upsetting thing to do. Like, the PvE missions are fun.
Yeah.
But they're not continually worth $15.
And I will say, these PvE missions do not give any new lore whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think
lore is important. I think.
I love lore.
Like, I just don't think that... I really hate the current model for video game monetization. I think it's very frustrating. I think it's very predatory a lot of the times. And
but that's why I like Remnant is a great fucking game.
Oh,
no,
of course.
Elden
Remnant,
Ring.
Baldur's Gate. What's the other one?
I don't think Elden Ring... Are we going to have to pay for the DLC?
Probably, but that's like a whole nother game, essentially.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole nother game. That's how they always have done it. Like, Bloodborne DLC is like...
FromSoft is like, listen, if you're going to pay for this, you're getting another section of the game with like just a crazy amount of...
I mean, yeah,
like
gameplay-wise,
it's fantastic.
I feel like you should pay for it if it's like a good amount of content.
Yeah, of course, because that just makes sense. If you're paying for like another half of a game, you should pay for like another half of a game. That's fine, because they never charge you like another $60 for the DLC. It's like you get 15 and then you get like three more bosses, crazy new areas, and a bunch of weapons. And that's like that makes sense. It's new content.
But again, to go back, Overwatch 2, if you're not playing Legendary, I'm assuming a majority of people can beat it on the second, because it is a staggering difference, Legendary and the next difficulty.
It's like Heroic versus Legendary in...
Literally.
You can
beat the whole campaign, and again, this was promised 4 years ago. You can beat the whole thing in like 2 hours max. $15.
And it doesn't do any story lore.
I mean, it's cool that, like, they have interactions.
But it's stories that we've already known.
Yeah. It essentially just, like, expands upon them. Maybe has, like, quirky, funny dialogue. But essentially, there's no, like, new things that you learn about them.
It'd be like if I ordered a burrito, right? Yeah. Like, it's a big burrito, and I'm happy with it, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, would you like to pay another $5 for an additional thing? I'd be like, yeah. And they just give me a soda. That's basically what it is. Like, it's, I like having the soda, but it's going to be gone like that. And it's a soda. It's not worth $5.
Yeah.
It's a soda. Like, paying for one time for $15 for all of the future PVE, that's worth it. That's worth it. Paying for three missions, I will beat one time on Legendary ever and then never touch again. Because I promise you, I'm not going back to play them.
No. Once you beat it on Legendary, ain't no way. Never.
It's like trying to teach other people how to play it, you restart. You restart your progress.
So what we did on the first day was we beat the first mission on Legendary, and then we couldn't beat the second mission. Everybody left. It was just me, and I need to create a whole new party on my own. I invited SK. SK joined, and then she realized, like, she was down. She was down to, like, beat Legendary again, and then she immediately realized, what am I doing? Like, she got into the voice and everything. She was like, actually, on second thought, I don't want to do this at all. She laughed. I thought it was really funny.
But, yeah, understandably, because it is a slog. It's a great feeling of satisfaction to beat it, but you will never want to do it again.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's skill-based challenging or whatever. It's like you figure out exactly what you have to do, and then you have to pray.
So you guys are essentially, from what I've described, I know you haven't tried it out.
I don't think I will.
You don't think you will?
You're burnt out on Overwatch. We all know
I'm burnt out on Overwatch. I've been so back into CS lately. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's such a fun fucking game.
I'm even back playing TF2.
TF2 is so fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
Dude, I was like looking at my Steam list. I saw Louis playing CS. We were playing TF2. I'm like, is it 2014 again or something? Like, what
the world
is
healing.
Thank you all for listening, whether you're here from the Patreon or listening on Audible, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube. Remember to rate us on Apple Music. It helps the podcast a lot. Subscribe to us on Patreon, and we will see you guys next week. This episode is out a little late. Apologies. We had some technical and just meeting up issues. We'll be back on track as soon as possible. But yes, thank you for all the support. We'll talk to you guys.
Appreciate each and every one of you.
Next time. Goodbye, everybody.